Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, wow, it's already January the 28th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast that is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. And a quick recap of yesterday's show starts now. We had our guest on, Brian Rust. Over the past 50 years, RustQuinnandGift.com has been helping folks understand, take possession of your metal, please. And how do you get constitutional currency? How do you get precious metal that makes sense? Brian is your friend in the precious metal business. RustQuinnandGift.com doing a great job. And he always joins me every Thursday for the Honest Money Report. Boy, howdy, do we need honest money. Without that, they couldn't peddle their wars and their tyranny. We got to return to constitutional currency and reject the fiats under any flavor they may be. By the way, we talked about a little comedian, our good buddy, Jim Gaffigan, doing a great job. He says this, when I die, they're going to discover that I had COVID my whole life. That explains why I'm tired all the time. I love that guy. He's funny. And by the way, the Fed opens debate on digital currency. And how dishonest is their debate? You know, everything that the Fed relates to is opposite from what the digital currency people hoped, right? So they say, we want to talk about it. We want to have a debate about it. We want to hear from the public. But here's the parameters. It's going to be central controlled. The United States is going to be king around the world. And, you know, the government's going to back digital currency. And there you go. You look at all that, and everything they advocate for is opposite from what the crypto folks had in mind. You know, the Federal Reserve wants central control. Crypto used to be decentralization. We go on and on. There used to be no backing, no control. Well, with the United States government, they would control everything. So the debate is a farce. It's a lie. But trust you me, your government is going to want to get into the digital currency world because they realize, hey, they don't like competition. And they can create digital currency easier than they can create even fiat paper currency. So there you have that. Government's going to dip their toe in the crypto. Don't do it, ladies and gentlemen. It's disaster. Push for honest weights and measures, as the Bible calls for and our founding fathers put in our supreme law, would you please? We also had our guest on, Pete Sepp, with the National Taxpayers Union, doing a phenomenal job. And we talked about the uncertain future of Build Back Better. We'll probably get a version of Build Back Better, whether we like it or not, but it's disaster on steroids. Let's fight, and shut it down. They say we can't win, but I predict with our greater numbers, if we work together, we can. Already, IRS miscues are making a complicated tax filing season even more complicated than it already has been. Look out for your Federal Reserve. They want to demand you give your money, but that yet when they owe you money back, well, they're struggling to comply there. NTU, that's the National Taxpayers Union, rates Congress. We talked about that as well. And then we let Pete Sepp go, and we had another incredible guest. Matthew Vadim is his name. And Matthew Vadim is a courts and justice reporter for the EpicTimes.com. He was with me. And Mr. Vadim is an award-winning investigative reporter and a recognized expert in left-wing activism. In fact, he wrote a book. He's the author of a book called Subversion, Inc. How Obama's, quote, acorn red shirts are still terrorizing and ripping off American taxpayers. And they have Team Jihad going on, if you will, with Barack and his organizations. How Sharia law folks are literally collaborating against everything we hold dear to destroy the United States. Wow. Great book. Subversion, Inc. Great book. We also talked about Vice President Kamala Harris plans to attend the inauguration of a left-wing nut, Honduran president-elect. I guess Mr. Castro with left-leaning socialist ties, Kamala's going to be there. What a shame that is. They used to be, you know, covert about their communism and socialism. Now they're in your face about it, folks. The Supreme Court on Monday agreed to hear a pair of cases challenging this notion in colleges that you got to have it race-based, right? Yeah, discriminative policies. Harvard and the North Carolina University there, all involved. Yeah, they say their admissions process is discriminatory against the Asians. Affirmative action before the Supreme Court. What will happen? Time will tell. Mr. Vadim says that we'll probably get an answer by the end of the year. Are we going to allow these colleges to remain to be racist, or are we going to jettison affirmative action immediately? That's the big question. That's the recap of yesterday's news. Available at LibertyRoundTable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. LovingLiberty.net. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Chris Carlson with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
You betcha. World War III alert. NATO provoking Russia to start war. It's NATO versus Russia. Western powers prepare to set Russia's house in order. The battles never end with unlimited funding, do they, Chris?
Yeah, since we've got our house in order over here in America, we might as well go over to three-quarters of the way around the world to another foreign nation and help set their house in order, right? That's our
attitude. Psychotic logic for sure.
Yeah, and do you hear the drums of war beating, Sam? Do you want me to give you the sound of the drums of war beating?
I hear the drums of war more than beating. I see the drums of war being tapped in the media as behind the scenes they engineer a manufactured war where they literally fund both sides, train enemies on both sides. This is the standard pattern of the money changers, Chris.
Yeah, well, I was going to give you a sample of those, the sounds of those drums of war, Sam. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Do you hear that?
That's money.
Yes, sir. And that's what war's always been about. It's been one of the most lucrative undertakings in the history of secret societies, as you know, Sam. And looks like they're about ready to make a monetary move. Hopefully not. But if one side or the other crosses that red line, we're going to see war three-quarters of the way around the world in the United States through NATO, through their commitment to NATO. Even though, by the way, Sam, did you know that the Ukraine is not even a member of NATO, yet we're going to their rescue? Doesn't that seem a little hypocritical or ironic?
Well, and then who they allow to be members of NATO is interesting as well.
Yeah, and then Russia doesn't want the Ukraine to, or any of the Balkan states, you know, within their sphere of influence, their former very strong sphere of influence under the USSR, to be part of NATO. That's one of their ultimatums. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that we're over there because, well, that and, of course, the one we already mentioned, which is money. But you've got all of these smaller European countries like Denmark, like France, like Little Estonia, and Little Latvia, actually sending armaments to the Ukraine, rendering themselves, Sam, then vulnerable to Russian aggression. You know, when they could otherwise just say, no, we're going to remain neutral. But there is one country, I don't know if you know this, that is remaining neutral, that is maintaining its neutrality in this whole situation. You know who that is?
I don't.
It's Germany. Germany's not sending anything over to the Ukraine. They're trying to.
I wish I could say Germany's learned their lesson, but I can't.
No, I mean, that's just, you know, one good move out of thousands of negative moves that they've made, you know, while they've been in the European Union. But you know the reason why? Because
probably don't have the
Europe,
money.
Well, they got more money than any other state in the European Union, Sam. You know, they're the coffers of the European Union as far as money is concerned. The reason that they're not doing it is they're afraid that their natural gas supplies will be cut off. And that should be the position of every European state, because Europe depends upon Russia for natural gas. They might have a cold, dark winter if they, you know, do something to upset Russia. I don't know if it'll work, because the European Union pretty much dominates the decisions, like, you know, those types of decisions that individual states make. But at least they'll try, you know, to maintain neutrality. And I think that's a smart move on their part, and I commend them for it. But all the other states, like I said, Lithuania is sending Javelin anti-tank missiles. Denmark is sending a frigate to the Black Sea. They're sending four F-16s. Romania is sending troops. The Netherlands is sending F-35 fighter jets to Bulgaria.
And the interesting thing that I would pose is, what do they hope to accomplish?
Well, they're going to have a lot of dead citizens if they're not careful. If they're not careful. And then here's the thing, Sam.
I think that's what they want, a lot of dead citizens. I think that's their goal, Chris.
Well, they better be careful. You bloody somebody else's nose, you're liable to get your nose bloodied yourself.
Yeah, but they like that too. They love war, sir. In fact, war is peace, as they teach. Let's go back and highlight some of the patterns that have set the stage for where we are now. We'll do it in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that it could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Back with you live, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, breaking down reality check on war, ladies and gentlemen. They say war is peace. That's how they lie to we the people. They've set the pattern. They've refined their art of war over years and years and years about how to deceive the people into war, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. And then here domestically, they're not helping us much at all. Because like I said in the beginning of this program, Sam, war is very profitable. It's one of the most profitable undertakings in the history of mankind. And here's why. Because people get emotional when they feel threatened. And when they get emotional, they don't think with their logic. They think with their hearts, and they think with fear. And fear drives them to spend just as much money as they absolutely have to in order to win the war that they're confronting. And that's when the military industrial complex comes in and says, yeah, you got to buy more bombs, you got to buy more guns, more tanks, more planes. And they make a killing, pun intended, on war. But here in this country, it used to be, Sam, we had the peaceniks, and we're talking primarily in the 1960s Vietnam era. And then we had in the Republican part, that would be the Democrats, by the way, the peaceniks, the make love, not war party. And then we should have the Republican Party that was kind of split between the non-interventionists, otherwise known as the isolationists, and the internationalists. You know, between the two, we had a lot of people that didn't want to go to war. But nowadays, we have a monolithic party. The Democrats and the Republicans are unified in their desires to go to war. We don't have any peaceniks. We don't have any non-interventionists in either party. And that's the problem. And if you look at Congress, you've got Mitch McConnell, Republican, Lindsey Graham, Republican, Adam Schiff, Democrat, Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker. Everybody in the Democratic and Republican Party are now war hawks. And that's the problem. Nobody, there's no contingent or faction in government that's saying, wait a minute, we got to think this thing through before we just go into this thing, half blind and just go to war. Wars have consequences, sometimes long term. Anyway, let's talk about the Cuban Missile Crisis, Sam. And I know you wanted to get to that before we ran out of time. And I point out the hypocrisy. Do you want to introduce that topic?
Well, it's just kind of the history of how we kind of get involved in things and how we manufacture crises, and then how we literally gear up both sides of a war so that the people are deceived by the media, feeling that the war is imminent. There's no way to really back away. And this Cuban crisis kind of gives you an idea of how they do this, how they agitate to the point of no return, if you will.
Yeah. Well, we were just to say this. Okay. So the Cuban Missile Crisis happened before we were born, Sam, in 1962, November to be specific. And our spy satellites or our spy planes, I can't remember which or maybe both, identified the transport of intercontinental ballistic missiles coming from the Soviet Union to Cuba, which is 90 miles off the coast of Florida. And they were hauling missiles. And this was a big deal because why would we want missiles stationed 90 miles off the coast of the United States? That was a huge threat, and we had to stop it. And then we had the Cuban Missile blockade under John F. Kennedy, our president. Now, I think it's a little ironic that back then we were concerned about missiles pointed at the United States of America 90 miles off of our coast, yet today we have missiles stationed in Europe pointing at the former Soviet Union, Russia, sorry. We've got them in Belgium. We've got them in Italy. We've got them in Vokal Air Base in the Netherlands and down in Turkey. Now, the only difference I would say between that and the Soviet missiles that were, being transported to Cuba back in 1962 is the fact that they're not nearly as close to Russia as those missiles in Cuba would have been to the United States. However, with the technology advancements, the results would be the same. So my question to you, Sam, is how can we be so hypocritical as to be pointing intercontinental ballistic missiles stationed in Europe at Russia today while we were concerned about them stationing missiles 90 miles off of our coast back then? Did you see the irony?
Well, it's just history repeats itself, right? It doesn't matter which side's the aggressor or which side's the agitator. The results are always the same, which is endless war backed by the military-industrial complex, backed by unlimited, dishonest fiat currency. I mean, you see it over and over. The pattern stays the same. In fact, the pattern stays the same, but every time it repeats itself, it becomes more refined. And what I mean by that is more refined to take us down a primrose path and close doors behind us so there's no point of return. I mean, right? That's what really goes on.
Yeah, and people need to understand that. People by nature are non-interventionists. That's the thing, Sam. So when our nation wants to take us to war, we have to use pop propaganda to convince the people that the threat is greater than it really is. Do you feel threatened by Russia 3/4 of the way around the world? Do you feel threatened, Sam? Or do you believe,
way more threatened by our own country, by the military-industrial complex, and by the dishonesty in the media manipulating the thoughts and the beliefs and the understanding of Americans to always believe there's a boogeyman behind their left shoulder. Don't you dare turn around, but armed to the teeth, go to war. You know what? Wage war around the world. We're in over 130-plus nations, militarily speaking, right now. Also, we don't have war at home. Lie. I want to carry out a humble foreign policy. Like George Washington and Ron Paul propose. But yet that's really where we are, right?
Well, just like you said yesterday, Sam, I feel more threatened by our Federal Reserve's monetary policy, where $413 billion was paid last year just for servicing the debt alone. That's not for paying off the principal, you know, and that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Pretty soon, they won't be able to collect enough income tax money from the American people to cover the servicing of the debt alone, not, let alone the principal. So, yeah, that to me is a greater threat because we've got enemies that hate us just as much here in America in positions of power, if not more, than we have enemies over in Russia or in Cuba or in China or North Korea. And those threats are just as real, if not more, because they're among us. They walk among us. They speak our language without an accent. I can't remember what that's a quote from, but, you know, they can disguise themselves as fellow citizens who have our best interests at heart, and we know they don't. And we're going to get to that later on. A pure fountain cannot give bitter water, and vice versa. Let me talk about Chuck Baldwin's article. But we need to look at our own government as a potential threat to our safety and security. And we're not. We're always being distracted over to the boogeyman overseas so that the military-industrial complex can make billions of profits off of unwitting American citizens. But they have to propagandize us. Do you want to transition into Edward L. Bernays at this point, Sam?
Yeah, very interesting. Again, we read experts who kind of highlight this and put things in perspective, right? I mean, they literally put their finger on the pulse to help us kind of back into an understanding of what's being done to us as we're betrayed virtually at every turn.
Yeah, and they have to condition the American mind to accept the fact that we're doing something 3/4 of the way around the world that could get a lot of our soldiers, our young men and young women, killed. And in order to do that, intuitively, human beings are not geared towards war. They're geared towards peace, making peace, negotiating with our potential enemies to accomplish a détente, which is basically an agreement not to go to war. But we have to be propagandized. So Edward L. Bernays, nicknamed the Father of Spin, was the creator of modern propaganda. Bernays was Sigmund Freud's nephew and applied Freud's work to the art of mass persuasion by blending advertising techniques with an understanding of human psychology. Bernays worked for the Committee on Public Information, otherwise known as the CPI. This government agency was created by President Woodrow Wilson in 1917 for the purpose of mustering public support for World War I. Okay, so the CPI, the Committee for Public Information.
Time flies when you're having fun, or rather when you're talking about key principles of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson with me, Sam Bushman on your radio.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A federal judge invalidated the results of an oil and gas lease sale in the Gulf of Mexico on Thursday, saying the Biden administration failed to properly account for the auction's climate change impact. Judge Randolph Contreras of the United States District Court in D.C. ruled the end of the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management's lease sale 257. That sale generated more than $190 million. As expected, the offshore drilling industry slammed the decision. It's now official. After 24 hours of the media and government officials saying Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer was going to retire, Justice Breyer made it official Thursday. President Biden then addressed the nation that the next Supreme Court justice will be based on gender and skin color.
Will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court.
USA Radio News.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's EXERGEN.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
I know you've been waiting a little bit longer than normal.
Jen's manicure spot needs an extra pair of hands.
Who's at the front desk right now?
Someone who's handy with everything from nail files to spreadsheet files.
Deidre's not coming in today, but we have that whole bachelorette party.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Where the federal government has failed at the U.S.-Mexico border, state attorney generals are meeting to plan a strategy.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday spoke at a two-day border summit for 12 state attorneys general to discuss security at the U.S. southern border. Abbott accusing President Biden of being indifferent to the impact illegal immigration has in the United States.
Joe Biden doesn't care about victims of human trafficking. If he cared, he would step up and do something about it. But he does not care about the carnage that he's causing to lives and communities across the entire country.
The Biden administration has focused on the root causes of mass migration, including crime and poverty, in countries where migrants are fleeing from. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
After 18 seasons with the NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger announced his retirement on Thursday. USA Radio News.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio. We're talking about World War III alert. NATO provoking Russia to start a war. Yeah, we think we want to set Russia's house in order. Russia, Ukraine, the big battle's on. Most folks are getting involved in some way or another. Germany's remaining neutral. Very startling for them, but hey, good for them for a change. They're concerned that they might not, have their pipelines and all their services maintained if they go to war. So that's one of the issues. We should all think a little bit more like that. But the bottom line is the Cuban crisis set the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, we literally armed both sides of that. Everybody geared up, if you will. It was disaster, but it kept us on the brink of fear, 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 and more fear. And now we're talking about the techniques of modern military propaganda, an article written in LouRockwell.com. We're talking really about the propaganda, the techniques of modern war developed over several instances that we can document quite well, Chris.
Yeah, because back in 1917, as you know, we were a thousand times more non-interventionist than we are today. We've come a long way, baby, which is kind of a tie into Edward L. Bernays, because he was the one who convinced women in the 1920s, Sam, to smoke cigarettes. Before then, very, very few women actually smoked cigarettes, but he called them torches of liberty. And he said that they represent freedom for women. And he got a lot of women, including my mother. Of course, she wasn't, even born back then, but she did smoke through the 60s and 70s, to smoke cigarettes. And that's Edward Bernays. We can go on and on about, you know, how he, you know, convinced people to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. But during the war, we had to get the American people on board, because we were, for the most part, at that time, Sam, as you know, non-interventionist in spirit. So there were the three objectives to get people to accept our entry into World War One, and Edward L. Bernays was the one to facilitate this. And in those three objectives was, you have to stress emotion over logic, and we see a lot of that today. You have to demonize the enemy. We see a lot of that. And promise a war that will make the world safe for democracy. And I remember reading, you know, throughout World War One and World War Two and the Korean War, I mean, that phrase was reiterated many, many times. We don't hear a lot about it today because it sounds kind of cheesy. I guess the cheese factor got too much, you know, for the media to use it. So we don't use it today. But that's what you have to do. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You remember during the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, our commander-in-chief, George W. Bush, would say, either you are with us or you're with the terrorists. It was either or. What if we just want to be peaceful, you know, and not make enemies? Where enemies, for the most part, did not exist. People in Iraq, you know, during the 1990s didn't hate Americans. People in Afghanistan didn't hate Americans. But a lot of them do now because, you know, war creates enemies where they were not otherwise there, you know, when you kill people's families. And the thing about how we conduct war today, Sam, and this is sad, is when you do preemptive strikes, you tend to kill a lot more innocent non-combatants, otherwise known as civilians, than you would, you know, if you wait for your enemy to come to you. In which case, you know, maybe a few civilians here and there, you know, would be compromised, would be killed or injured. But when you go after a nation and you start dropping bombs indiscriminately on cities, you're always going to kill a lot more civilians, people that don't deserve to die. And we could go on and on about, you know, accountability and the principle of blood atonement, but I think I'll spare that for we've talked about it in the past. Anyway.
Well, the way to think about this is Freud, propaganda, and the total state, Ron Lieberman, with this point. You kind of begin to understand they've taken this to a new level with psychiatric manipulation. You know, Freud and all these people put together these frameworks for understanding people and places and things and leading you to certain conclusions and understandings and et cetera, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you get to the point, and I'll give you a really quick example, Sam. I know you kind of wanted to get on to the next article by Chuck Baldwin.
No, we'll skip the Chuck Baldwin. I'll save that for Scott Bradley in the next hour. How's that?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, let's move on. I'm sorry. I'm going off on tangents.
So explain this idea of Freud propaganda and the total state, because this is a great understanding of who's who here and how this all works. This is not something they've just stumbled upon. This is something they've refined over decades, is what we want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen. The art of war is not just by stumble, by accident, by, oh, my gosh, the bad guys are trying to get us. This is a refined road they lead you down to lead you into war. They do it over and over. So give people the details of the techniques here.
Well, we went through them. So number one, you stress emotion over logic. Okay. You make people think with their hearts rather than with their minds, because when people think with their hearts, they become irrational and they allow our government to spend irrationally. Okay, that's
so let me give you an example on this point.
Wars because they borrowed
emotion over logic. Demonize the enemy. Who's the enemy right now? On the national stage for global war, it's NATO.
In my heart, I don't have any enemies.
Locally, though, the enemy is the unvaxxed. Locally, the enemy is the unmasked. Locally, is the enemy who won't go along with their agenda, right? So think about that and apply that of how they've literally in 2 years, if you don't wear a mask and if you're not vaccinated, you are a flat-out terrorist. Let me tell you who the other terrorist is. Are you ready? Mom and dad going down to the school board.
Yes.
They're terrorists. Domestic threat. See, they've demonized.
Oh, yeah.
Demonized and demonize. Then they promise a war to make the world safe. War is peace. If we just have this war, peace is on the back end of that. You got to go up this war hill, but as soon as you do, you're going to be coasting, Chris.
Yeah, right? I don't believe their promises anymore, Sam.
I know, but I'm just saying that's where it goes. All right?
It goes that way. People buy it every time. It's just like Lucy and Charlie Brown. Not Lucy. Yeah, Lucy.
All right. The art of doublespeak
relates
to this, ladies and gentlemen. Edward Curtin writes about doublespeak as well, Chris.
Okay. Edward Curtin. Are you going to read that?
No, go ahead. I don't want to read anything. I just want you to tell us how it works. Tell me how doublespeak works, my friend. All right?
Was that on our notes? Doublespeak.
Yeah. So doublespeak is where they lie to you, where they tell you things that aren't true. Let me give you an example. I know that for decades we've known masks don't work, Chris. We know that masks only work in a surgical setting, masks that are to a certain scientific level, technical level, and masks worn in certain settings by those who know how to wear them. Otherwise, masks don't work. The coronavirus is way too small. The mask holes are way too big, and therefore it does no good. They've known that for literally decades, and they've taught that for decades. And at the start of the pandemic, you know what? Fauci and others said, don't wear a mask. They don't do any good. You don't need it. But then later they turned on a dime with doublespeak, and then they said, hey, new science shows, never mind, we don't have any evidence, new science shows that masks work. Everybody's got to wear a mask. We literally wore a mask for 2 years, and at the end of the 2 years, they say, by golly, cloth masks don't work. I know most of you have been wearing cloth masks forever, but they don't work. Now they're admitting this, but it's 2 years late. This doublespeak is beyond imagination. This idea that war is peace. They just literally lie to you over and over and over. It's a lie. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You got to wear a mask. Well, no, you don't. Masks don't do any good. Oh, yes, masks do good. Anybody that tells you that masks don't do good is a terrorist. Same thing with doublespeak. Hey, put your kids in school. We're here to support you. We love you, parents. We're here to help you with your kids. Later, what? You don't like what we're doing in the government school? Don't you know that you gave your kids to us? We do whatever we want. You're a terrorist. And they use this doublespeak all the time to literally lie and deceive the people. It's a mind control. It's a mind, what do you want to call it? Psyop control?
Manipulation.
Over the people?
Manipulation, conditioning. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And people buy into it. And I used to be there, Sam. So let me give you one quick example. I think this might illustrate the point. Do you remember the standoff at down in Waco, Texas with David Koresh? When that was before I had been red-pilled, Sam. And when I turned on the news every night and I heard about the developments of that standoff, I got angry at David Koresh and his followers. Yet later on, I felt so embarrassed that I had responded that way. It was because I was allowing myself to be manipulated by the news. But of course, now I'm different.
Ladies and gentlemen, it happens to us all. We all have awakening moments, and that's what this broadcast is about, to help you have one of those in your life and then spread the word, right? Chris Carlson in seconds.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the art of war. We're talking about NATO versus Russia. You got to ask yourself a question. Are we going to have World War III on our hands? Is this going to be a situation where it goes hot? The United States has already placed approximately 8,500 troops on standby for possible deployment to Eastern Europe to strengthen NATO forces, ladies and gentlemen, with Ukraine. You know what? As many as 50,000 troops could eventually be sent to the, quote, Eastern Front on this thing, right? Boris Johnson talking about Russia unmasked. Okay, are we talking about a lightning war to capture control of Kiev, Ukraine? Where are we on this thing? They say such a move would be a disastrous step for Russia. It would be painful, violent, bloody. But Joe, whacked out Joe, held a video call, ladies and gentlemen, with these leaders, with NATO leaders, European leaders, etc., to possibly deal with Russia. Stock markets slumped around the world on the news as war fever increases. The U.S. Federal Reserve stimulus money increases. Interest rates increases. 82nd Airborne at Fort Bragg have been given orders to deploy to Europe. Both the U.S. and Great Britain are preparing to withdraw diplomats. People around the world are saying, get the heck out while you can. Pentagon officials are consulting among strategies being considered, ladies and gentlemen, between 1,000 and 5,000, now 8,500 troops to Europe. Will the number completely expand and expand and expand? Where's this going to go? Some are saying, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Some are saying, hey, in February, this is going to kick off. Is this a reality check, a concern, or a moved prediction? Is this the kind of thing where we're going to fulfill prophecy? Where are we at on this thing, do you think, Chris?
Well, and here's the thing. The more NATO troops we accumulate on the border of Russia and then Ukraine, is it possible, Sam, that we are provoking war? What if we just ignored Russia's position on the border, on their side of the border? What if we just said, okay, yeah, you guys, I mean, you're obviously on your sovereign territory. You have every right to be there. Why don't we just ignore you until you decide? But here's the thing. They may or may not, and I'm not for either side, Sam. They may or may not want to annex, just like they did the Crimea, they may want to annex the Donbass region, which is, for the most part, Russian in political orientation. Most of the people in the Donbass region, they would rather be annexed by Russia. And it's a sad fact that back in the USSR, the Soviet Union days, Sam, that Russia actually colonized certain areas of their satellite states, including the Ukraine, and Donbass was one of those regions. So because of historical fact, there are people in the Donbass regions, the majority of which would like to be annexed to Russia. They would rather be part of Russia. So it may occur that Russia all along has decided that they're going to do the same thing to that region as they did to the Crimea, which would, I don't know, would they be justified? See, here's where things get a little tricky, Sam. I'm not sure if they would be justified or not, because today that's part of the Ukraine. But maybe it should be part of Russia. And maybe, you know, they're using that, the internationalists who are going to be the only people that win in this war because they'll make tons of money. Maybe that's what they want.
But well, and here's the real problem. Here's the real problem, though. Who is to decide that? Who has authority to decide the creation of the de-evolution of the annexing of the jettisoning of nation? Who's to decide that? Look at China and Taiwan to make the point. Look at the United States and Cuba to make the point. Do we literally have an enemy at arm's length, but so close you can smell their breath on your shores always to generate fear? Do you take them over and stop that? What about the freedom-loving nation of Taiwan compared to the communist nation of China? What about Cuba, the communist nation versus America? What about, you know, how does this all, and why are we the ones? Why is NATO the ones? Why are the United States the global, quote, leader? Why are we the ones to determine what can go and what can't and why and how and who and what and where? And it's very, very strange.
Because we are internationalists, and there is a precedent in world history, and that's when France came over to America during the Revolutionary War, and they helped us. And I'm grateful, and that's why things are a little bit muddy for me, Sam, so I'm deferring to superior wisdom here. France actually came over and saved our bacon during the Revolutionary War. Are we then justified doing the same thing over in Taiwan or Hong Kong? Or, in this case, the Ukraine. Are we justified? I would say probably not. I mean, that should be our default position, at least. Because I don't think we have any national interest at stake there. So I say, let's stay out.
Yeah, the problem is, where do we get authority? And whether the French should have been involved with us or not, where do they get authority? And when is tyranny used against someone? And we need to use freedom and our efforts to quote, free those people. See, I don't see a big effort for liberty going on in the Ukraine right now. I don't think that we should be there at all. We certainly shouldn't be involved in an international cabal to upset the region there. It's not our backyard. We don't have authority. We don't have the ability to breach another nation's sovereignty. It reminds me this, if the devil's greatest deception is that he does not exist, then the idea is the international bankers' greatest deception is that they do not exist. They want you to believe somehow in the art of doublespeak that war is peace, peace is war. We have authority everywhere. But we don't. It's not the truth. There is such things as self-determination. There are such things as sovereignty for nations. And we don't have any right to breach the sovereignty of Russia or the Ukraine or any of them. But yet what we want to do is we want to fund both sides. So somehow Russia's an enemy, but the Ukraine's a friend? Who's part of NATO? Either of them? Okay, what are we even talking about? Who's the friend and who's the foe? And that's the problem with the international reality in America, is that we don't know who's friend and who's foe. That's why our founding fathers, like George Washington and others, taught to avoid the foreign entanglements, because we don't know who's got what agenda. And even if we did know, there are rules called laws in the supreme law of our country that tell us if we're going to go to war, then who decides that? Answer, Congress. Okay? And if we're going to go to war, we got to declare war. If we're going to do something short of war, again, the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, provides those guidelines. So whether we should be there or not from a moral point of view is up for debate. What's not up for debate is the default position of America to stay out of foreign entanglements, and then the rules, if we're going to go to war, the laws of how we do so, or if we're going to support a nation, what tools we have at our disposal. That's all spelled out in the supreme law of the land, and is controlled by the legislative body, Chris. So no matter what, we shouldn't be cranking up 8,500 troops. We shouldn't be sending people there. We shouldn't be having the president get on, quote, international calls with foreign so-called partners that may be enemies themselves. We shouldn't be doing all those things. We should be looking to Congress right now saying, Congress, is there a need here? And if so, what is it? And how do you intend to respond? We're looking at it all wrong in America, for starters, sir. If you want wisdom, the founders got it, and the supreme law of the land articulates it. I just happen to be smart enough to turn to it often.
Yeah, and to qualify that distinction that I made when France came over, Sam, to help the American colonists win their independence, that was a rare moment in history in the sense that we actually were fighting for freedom and liberty and God, family, and country. I don't think that's the case in the Ukraine. They're not a free people. In fact, through the CIA and Victoria Nuland back in 2014, we know what happened. The CIA actually effected a coup in the Ukraine, installed Volodymyr Zelensky, who is a globalist. So by going over and aiding the Ukraine against Russia, are we actually promoting freedom and liberty and prosperity? Or are we advancing the globalist cause? I say the latter. You know, maybe in Taiwan or Hong Kong, the latter would be, or the former would be the case. But anyway, things just get complicated. I think our default position, like you said, Sam, is first of all, make sure that Congress is the one declaring war, because I think in this case, if Congress is compelled to do that, they might think this thing through a little better than if they just let the President of the United States, who is being controlled, it's obvious, make that decision, which we've been doing since the Korean War, which is unconstitutional. So just let our default position be, let's just hold off. We have no dog in this fight, Sam. We shouldn't be risking our young men and women and our treasure to go on the side of a globalist, clearly a globalist.
Well, we have all kinds of tools congressionally. Even if we don't determine going to war is necessary, we have all kinds of rules, constitutionally speaking, mark and reprisal and many other ways. Tariffs at our borders, dealing with the greatest economy the world's ever known, the greatest economic engine. We have ways to, short of declaring war, of increasing peaceful intent and de-escalating situations, which is what we ought to be doing right now. But rather, we have the president, literally can't think for himself, can hardly tie his shoes, agitating for war as a global leader tied in with all these foreign entanglements. We got to jettison that. We got to turn to the proper branch of government. And then if we, the people, put pressure on our congressmen and senators, let's slow down there, warmongering thugs. Let's look at the supreme law of the land for guidance. And Congress, if you're going to take us there, you better justify yourself or we're going to vote you out of office for going there unjustly. It's just wars that we need to look at here. And I'm telling you right now, not only do we have no dog in this fight, it's absolute unjust for us to even be there at all. Show me to the contrary. While using the Constitution as your guide, you'll never succeed. It's an unjust war. We ought not agitate. We ought not be there. But they did this in the missile crisis. They just ratcheted up fear. Then the people don't know where to go. Whip up a mob, turn them loose with only one guidance. We're going to war. You know, the only question is for how long? And every single war that's not declared has been longer and longer and longer and longer in scope. All this uphill battle, hoping to have peace on the other side, never to be found. The techniques of modern military propaganda, ladies and gentlemen, are out of control. And we're here to expose them for you and highlight this lie. Either you are with us or you're with the terrorists. Well, when you say with the terrorists, if I'm not with George Bush then, and he's a terrorist, then I'm not with the terrorists. See? The problem is the propaganda points to me as the terrorist. And George Bush is the peace guy. But yet George Bush agitating for war, and I'm agitating I'm encouraging peace. And you look at that and you go, at some point, Americans have to learn to ferret through this. Use the Constitution. It'll help you. And you can jettison the doublespeak and get a handle. If we're going to go to war, if we're going to take action against a given nation, use the supreme law of the land guidance and use the legislative body, the broadest body closest to the people. Because those are the checks and balances that made America the greatest country on the face of the earth. There's hope, but you got to learn to look for love in the right places, Chris. Final word's yours.
Yeah, and going back to my original position, Sam, we have enough enemies here in our own country. Let's clean our own house before we try to clean somebody else's. Without God, Sam, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duties, sir.
For Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, God save the Republic of the United States of America.